Well, we just came out of an hour of prayer. How many of you were able to be here for the prayer? Yeah, we had a really good turnout tonight. It was great to see everybody. Prayer is one of, or can be, I should say. I don't want to say it is, but sometimes it's most one of the most misunderstood things probably that I've ever heard taught, you know, from the Bible in a church. So many people have so many misconceptions about what prayer is and what prayer isn't. So we thought, well, if we're in 21 days of prayer, maybe it would be nice if we knew, first of all, how to pray, and then second of all, what we're praying for, and why do we even pray? So we have a panel of seasoned veterans up here, and we're going to discuss the topic of prayer tonight. And I'm going to start by telling you that if the Apostle Paul tells us that we should be continually praying, then we ought to continually know what we're supposed to do. And so I get asked all the time, you know, Pastor, how can you pray continually? And the problem is we're trying to make prayer a thing we do. Has anybody thought how many breaths you're taking? I mean, really, if I ask you right now, how many times did you breathe in the last minute? Can anyone tell me how many? If you can, that's just weird, man. Don't even put your hand up. But yet, if you're not doing it, not only will you die, you won't even make it through the service. And you won't last many minutes at all without doing it, but yet, you're still doing it. So, just like air keeps your body alive, prayer keeps your spirit alive. Prayer is an attitude. It's a lifestyle. It's not something. We make prayer an event. And we got to start somewhere, panel, so I'm going to go ahead and kind of lay just a little groundwork here so we got somewhere to stand on when we start asking these questions. But these are important things that most people never consider when you're talking about prayer. Prayer is not an event. It can be. Like we can have, all right, we're going to need a few of us, and we're going to agree in prayer. Okay, that's an eventful prayer. Okay, we're going to do spiritual war prayer. The Bible calls that desis, and we're going after something. You know, we're going after the gates of hell. You know, we're going to bind demonic forces. Okay, that's an eventful prayer. But then there is, like breath in your body, there is a position you take in prayer. And there is a lifestyle that you build around prayer. I can tell you all day long, when I'm at work, when I'm out shopping, when I'm driving in my car, I am in communication with the Lord through the Spirit. I don't have to be saying words. I'm just communicating, and I'm in the presence of God, and I'm always asking God things, and I'm always wanting information, and I'm trying to discern the things around me. Ted Shuttlesworth said something to me one day. He said, there's signs all around us. He said, but you have to be looking for them to see them. And then when he said that, I thought, you know, he might have a point there. So I started looking. And I started looking for signs, and when I started looking for them, guess what started happening? I started finding them. I started seeing them. And it was amazing because they'd been there the whole time. I just wasn't seeing them. And so prayer is, listen to me, it's getting spiritually in tune with what the Spirit is trying to say and do with you on a regular basis. It's hearing God. You have all these other voices out there that are competing with the voice of God on a continual basis. We got cell phones constantly going. We go in our car. We got radios. We got laptops. Then we get home, there's TV. You know, you can't go anywhere, and then if you get, God forbid, you get a moment, and somebody walks in the room and wants to talk and chat with you about something, has nothing to do with God. And if that's not enough, a problem will hunt you down. And it'll start screaming at you or whispering in your ear, distracting you. Anything it can do to keep you out of the presence of God. And so what 21 days of prayer is it's training your body to get back in sync. Now, when I had that pinched nerve there for a while, you know, I'm a guy, I have to work out, and I have to train about every day. It's just everybody's built different, but that's what I have to do to keep myself where I need to be mentally, physically, everything, spiritually. That's where I have to be. Well, I didn't get to go to the gym for 2.5 months. You know, that's like somebody who's got a food addiction doesn't get to eat for 2.5 months. Follow what I'm saying? And so now what happened was, you know, after 2.5 months, your body goes through changes. So I had to get back, and you don't just start where you left off. So you have to retrain yourself. You see, and see, now I'm right back again. I feel great again. Okay? Well, so is prayer. So we use this 21-day prayer because we've been distracted. We've taken time off. Now, I'm not here to single anybody out or make anybody feel awkward, but let's just look at the last 3 weeks. How much time did you spend in prayer? And I don't think we need to go past there. It usually looks something like this. Time to eat. Lord, please bless this food. In Jesus' name, thank you. and that's prayer. When you lay down at night, Lord, just bless us all. That's pretty long prayer for some of us. Call that extended play. Yet I can remember times, church, where the Lord will wake us up at 2:00 in the morning, be 43 degrees out, you got to climb outside those covers and get down on your knees and pray it out. How long? Sometimes hours. When's the last time the Lord drug you out of bed to pray something through? Whether it be for you, your household, your church, your community, when was the last time he drug you out to do that? When's the last time he stopped you? I have been stopped in my car, stopped. And can I tell one story here, and then we're going to open up the panel? But if it's not real to you, it's not going to work for you. You got to know what it looks like. I'm minding my own business, driving my car. I wasn't even thinking about prayer. The Lord said, pull over. And I pulled over. He said, start praying for the policeman at your church. Oh, man, I went into full intercession over the policeman at our church. I'm praying for church, y'all. At that time, we had 5 members that were policemen. I'm praying, saying their names, calling them out, until I felt it lift. I said, okay. I called my wife, called Pastor Nisa. I said, hey, strange thing, Lord just pulled me over and told me to intercede for the policeman. I wonder what that's all about. 4 hours later, one of our policemen responded to a call and took 3 shots to the head with a .357 Magnum. You ever seen something shot with a .357 Magnum? Directly to the head. It was intentional. It was a trap. They were trying to kill him. So I went to the hospital that night, and you can see I felt a little different than everybody else there. All the doctors are shaking out, and they're saying, no, he's not going to make it to morning. You know, his brain's going to swell and all that. And I took the wife to the side. I said, I don't care what these doctors are saying. I'm just telling you the Lord had me pull over and intercede today. And I don't know why. If you don't believe me, you call my wife, because I even told my wife, so I have a witness that it happened. And I said, he's not going to pull me over to have me intercede if he didn't plan on doing something. So I don't care what the doctors say, I'm telling you, husband's going to be okay. I still went out on a limb, but I knew God's not going to waste your time. And I'll make a long story short, 1 year later, he was fully restored back to his position at Post, and he got up and testified at this church. That happened. Now, we can keep praying, you know, we can just live a life and we bless our food, and we can, you know, live a life where we, you know, bless my family, my 4 and no more, and we can live that way. And I'm not saying God's not going to honor those prayers, because he'll honor every prayer. Or we can choose to live a different life where we're affecting other. What if I had not been in tune and not heard, would that man still be alive? Would their children still have a father? I could tell you many stories, but that one's just one that just came to my heart and came to my head right there. So prayer is kind of a big deal. And understanding what you're doing in prayer is kind of a big thing. So what I want to do is let's break it down. So I'm going to open this up to the panel. So if you're talking to someone out there, how would you tell them, maybe they don't have a prayer life, maybe they've never really started a prayer life, they have to have first steps. So who wants to walk them through how to start getting seasoned and start practicing and getting a life of prayer established? Whoever wants to take the first one, you go ahead. And don't everybody jump at once, because if you're fighting over the mics, I'm going to have to come separate you.
I'll start, being the youngest one up here and all.
Hunter got that little jab.
And I said that as a jab to everybody, but I really said that as someone who's been in church, specifically this one, since I was 7 years old. So the majority of the people sitting on this panel, from a child to a teenager to a young adult to now being older myself with kids and stuff, I've watched most everybody on this stage and sat in prayer with them. And prayer always made me a little nervous, because I always want to be real with God, right? And so, and when you sit around people that have been following the Lord for 20, 30, 40 years, and they've been talking to God for a long time, and it can be kind of daunting to say, well, what am I going to say? Some of the best advice that I've ever heard at this church about prayer was when you're praying, you have to understand, remember, and realize who it is that you're talking to. And in the same way that I talk to my wife different than I do my coworker, I'm talking to my Creator. But so much so more than my Creator, I'm the Bible calls Him my Father. And it says that I can go boldly to Him and talk to Him. And we chuckle sometimes when we talk about how we talk, but you know, I don't go to my dad and repeat things over and over and over and over again to him. I just walk into where he's sitting in front of his chair and I just ask him, or I just talk to him, or, you know, I just sit around him. And so one of the things that's always helped me is to realize who it is that I'm talking to, that I'm not talking to someone that means me harm or wants to punish me, or, you know, wants to call all of my faults on the table, or is going to rain fire and brimstone down on my head, is going to waterboard me, or whatever it is, that I'm talking to someone who wants me to be close to them, who wants me to have a relationship with them. You know, it's easy to talk to someone who wants to be in the room with you. It's easy to have a relationship with someone who wants to have a relationship with you. And so it doesn't matter if it's I'm praying for my wife or my children, my finances, our church, the will that God has for my life. It's just conversating with Him. I, like Bishop was saying in his car, I find that I talk to God sometimes, or I hear from God at the most random spots or the most random times. I talk to God very often on the lawnmower. Very often. Usually I'm complaining about that the wind's not blowing the way I think he should have it blowing, right? But I talk to God often in those moments when it can be just me and him. Because I know no matter what it is, where I'm at, what's going on, he's always listening to me, and he's always no matter what it is that I've done, God's always got his arms open for me.
Hold on just a second. I want to just comment, because there's something he said and it kind of slipped past, and I want to make sure you caught that. It's when he prayed to God, it's his Father. So like if his dad's sitting there in a chair, he doesn't go there, "Oh, Fatherest, oh, Lord God, Father God, Father God, Lord God, Father God." You know, it'd be like him going to his father, Oh, dad, father, dad, dad, father, dad, father, dad, father, 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 dad. You know, if you know, can you imagine if you had your son with you and he was in the toy aisle and you said, come on, you're not getting a toy today. And he just fell down on the and started pitching a fit saying, oh, fathers, why won't thouest doest thine buy thine toy for my sonneth? I mean, you'd have him committed or put on medication at least, right? Something. So I don't want you to miss these roots, these core values that he's teaching you. You talk to your father like you talk to your father. So many times, and the leadership will tell you, I'm just blunt. I'm like, guys, when you lead in a prayer, God knows who he is. You don't have to keep reminding him. God, Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. He knows who he is. You don't have to keep reminding him through the prayer. He's not going to forget that you're talking to him through the prayer. When you talk to someone, just talk to them. Just talk like you talk to me. You don't have to get a weird voice. You don't have to get an ugly face. You don't have to slobber and spit. Your head doesn't have to spin around three times. You won't scare God into doing the prayer. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not talking about when you're doing warfare. Warfare is a whole different animal. And we'll just set that aside. I don't want to call that normal prayer. That is not normal prayer. Now, if you go by a room and you hear some stuff going on behind that door, if you don't understand intercessory prayer, just keep on walking. And we'll handle that end until you're ready to learn that part. But let's just set that one aside. I'm going to talk, because we make some faces and we get some guttural noises. Even the Bible says you make guttural sounds. You can't, you know, that's a whole nother teaching. We're talking about communication with the Father on a regular basis and a consistent prayer life. Everybody understand that? So how are we going to talk to God? Just like I'm talking to you. I mean, I just look at him and say, Lord, what's up? God, you got to help me. I can't get it. I've looked. I can't find it. You're going to have to help me with the answer. Please, Lord, will you help? That's how I talk to God. So however you would talk to your Father, that's how you talk to God, okay? I just don't want to miss that. It was really good that you said, Hunter. Winston, were you going to say something? Who was going to say something? Oh, was it Joe? Okay.
You're right where you are. I had to unlearn so much that I learned at the church that I went to initially when I was a child. And these deacons were praying like they was trying to impress somebody with big words and D's and thou's and all of this. I thought it was nonsense. And as I got older, I read my Bible and I got to a place where I could be taught and I learned how to do it properly. But God met me where I was and he answered my prayer. He will. He looks on the intent of the heart. And so he wants the best for us. So like Bishop said, just talk to him like you would normally. You don't have to put the D's and the dials and all that kind of stuff in there. Just talk to him. And he's not hard of hearing.
And another thing, too, when we first came to this church, like Joe said, we had a lot of things to unlearn that we were just taught wrong. So we walked in, and we walked in. This was a praying church. And I myself, I don't know about him, but I had never been out of church. Always been in church. But when I came in, I remember saying to myself, I felt like a dumb dog. That's what I said to myself. Because I felt like, what are they? I was 30, in my mid-30s when I came here, but I felt like I knew nothing. So I'm saying that to say God still met us where we were, because initially I was intimidated to come to prayer, to join in. I would come, but I was a spectator because I didn't think I knew anything. I'm like, I have no clue. So he did meet me where I was. Now, with that said, 20 years later, I didn't still need to be where I was. That's right. 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So. That's right. When she said something that I really caught when she said it,
the leaders that were the prayer leaders when we came here, because we came here in 1994, right after the Browns, and they were so gracious to teach us and guide us in prayer, because we had people like Brother Lowell Phelps, Treva's dad, who would tenderly bring you into a place, because he would start, he would set his sail, that's what he said, he'd get the scripture, he'd read the scripture. He called that setting his sail in prayer. But he also would sense to see if anybody else had something in prayer, because he might would come up to you and say, what do you have? Pray that out. He didn't ridicule you. He didn't make you feel bad. He would say, go ahead and pray that out. And then we would just go with the flow. We had Miss Harriet Terry, who would come to us and say, okay, pray that. What'd you hear? Did you hear anything from the Lord? What did you hear? And we felt comfortable letting her know, them know what we heard. And we had Lucy McKee, who would say, come on in here, come. Follow you. If I say goat, you just say goat and pray it out. There's something going on with a goat somewhere. Pray that out. So we were taught some fundamentals that were life-changing, just life-changing things. But what I do the same thing that Brother Phelps taught us. I set a sail in prayer. So if I'm praying about healing, well, what I do is I go find some scriptures on healing. Because if you don't know what to pray, you can just turn in the Bible to it, read that out aloud, because you're praying the healing scriptures. So that's always a good start. And those who lead prayer have to be so kind and understanding with others, because we always honor our Father when we come into prayer. We honor Him, and we start off by repenting. Say, Father, I know I said some things today or acted in a way that was not pleasing to you. Will you please forgive me? And then just take it from there. Amen.
It's more caught than taught. So if you're in an atmosphere, for instance, with a corporate prayer, and we're praying, and the lead person is praying, and you catch what they're praying. You just hang on to what they're praying. Fellowship with God, when I learned to pray, is how I learned to pray. When I first came to this church, like Pastor Rod say, I didn't have a clue. I came from a denominational church, and we would pray in secret. So I thought that's how everybody prayed. So when I came here and I heard people praying, I kind of was a little scared, because I thought, are we supposed to be doing that? But I learned over the years, I got in the Word. And because fellowship with me is so important, and I love the Lord so much, I wanted to learn how to pray His Word. So every time, my sister gave me a little book. She felt so sorry for me, because I didn't know what I was doing, that she gave me a prayer book. And let me tell you, I wore that prayer book out. I would get scripture after scripture and pray it. And the more I pray it, the more I would hear. And the more I would hear, the more I would pray. And when I got into prayer, the prayer session with Brother Phelps, like she mentioned, it seemed like he would always call on me. So I would hide in the back. True, I did. I would hide from people, and he would just point, Dorothy. And I thought, oh, God. But I would be obedient. She said, and I would go and I would pray when I was hearing. So I know that anyone in this place can pray. Everybody can pray. You have to know that God loves you, and He wants to hear you pray. So pray.
All work together. in those prayers. But the thing is that we were there. So if you don't show up and if you don't hang around prayers, then you won't grow in prayer. You'll stay at the same place that you are. The bishop talked about, you know, the warfare praying. Well, you won't get there initially, but if you continue, like they said, Brother Phelps was warfare. I mean, but initially we didn't know. But after about a few months being in there, we found ourselves doing some warfare. We didn't know that's what it was called. So it wasn't all about the knowledge about it, but we caught it. And then, for me anyway, I got the knowledge afterwards because it made me more hungry to know about it.
And let me make a clarification here because there's been a lot of good stuff said, and I just want to kind of go through the laces and pull this up. We're talking about two different types of prayer, okay? There is your personal prayer life, and it needs to be intact first. And I'm not saying you can't come into corporate prayer without a personal prayer life, because you can, because you can just be around it. And like Roz was saying, some things are caught, some things are taught. And sometimes you just have to catch a few things by being around it. You just got to hear it and kind of do it, and it just happens. But the first thing you want to establish is a personal prayer life with God. And I want to make sure that gets said. And that means that prayer life has to be between you and God. I know Mama prayed for you and Grandmama prayed for you, and those prayers are great, but that ain't your prayer. And we'll pray for you, and you'll get prayed for every time you're in this building, but you cannot depend on mine and the other minister's prayers. You have to develop a prayer life for you. And I know that usually there's one more stronger spiritual person in the house. Usually it's either the husband or the wife. It can be the one. Well, you can't depend on that. You can't say, well, just honey, pray for me. No, you have to pray for you. Because honey ain't always going to be there. And you don't know when honey's not going to be there when you need prayer. Or your child needs prayer. So I'm telling you, if you hear nothing else we're saying tonight, you have to develop a prayer life for you. And the only way you can do it is to do it. Nobody prayed perfect the first time they prayed. I don't know that I pray perfect now, do you? I just pray. I just take it to God. And I've done it so long now because I'm just so used to talking to him that we get it done. I've learned to hear God. So you're never going to hear God till you can learn to talk to God. See, you're establishing a dialogue. And if you'll talk, I'm telling you, ask. The Bible says he hears your prayers. So he'll listen, and he will answer your prayers. Okay? And sometimes answering is seeing it come to pass. Sometimes, no, he's not going to go, okay. And no, the voice is not going to come from heaven. It's going to come in here. I like the saying they say, you have a knowing in your knower. And so you have to learn to pray by the Spirit in your life. Now, I was just sifting through my Bible the other day, one of my teaching Bibles here, and I found one of my Hananisms. This is not scripture. This is just a Hananism, which was a statement he gave me. That when the natural man cooperates with natural laws, he can do nothing supernatural. So it's when the Spirit man connects with spiritual laws. That's when you see the super added to your natural. And so I don't know about you, I don't want to just live in the average mundane world with everybody. I want to live supernatural. I want to live a supernatural life. So I have to add some super to my natural. So it has to be my spirit man connecting. So that means I got to get out of my head and I got to get into my spirit. And then I got to get God's word into my spirit, because if God's word's not in my spirit, then I'm still going to be struggling with the flesh portion of the spirit, because don't think the flesh doesn't influence the spirit too, because it does. Your own spirit I'm talking about. So I need more of the Holy Spirit, and the only way you get more of the Holy Spirit is to spend time with God. I can do this all day long. The only way I can have a connection with my son is if I spend time with him. I can't say he's just my son and this relationship's going to develop, but he's my son. We're related. He's my son. No, we're good. I ain't talked to him in 5 years, but man, he's my son. He's my son, but we're not one. But he's my God. I believe in God. He's my father. We ain't talked to him in 5 years. Are you listening to me? But when I spend time with him, and I understand him, and he understands me, and I understand that it's okay that he knows Dad ain't perfect, and I know he's not perfect, and we're working on it. See, I can go to God. No, you think God doesn't already know that you've messed up? You think you're hiding something from God? He already knows. So you might as well go ahead and come clean. And then what happens? There's a trust that happens. Listen, I'll tell you right now, God's my best friend. I'm just being honest. There's nothing I can't tell God. There's nothing I don't tell God. So there has to be a personal prayer life, but it has to be in the Spirit. And when you pray in the Spirit, there will be a lot of times you'll be praying, and I know we like to say we pray in tongues, and that's our spiritual language. Yeah, and lots of times I pray in tongues. But, you know, a lot of times I don't say a word. A lot of times I'll just get out in the Spirit. And I'm talking to God, and he's talking to me, but the room's quiet. Outside of maybe the worship music I have playing or whatever. So sometimes it's just sitting in that presence. And God is communicating with you, and you're communicating with God. Why do you think we open up with praise and worship? That's not for your entertainment. That's to distract your mind, to get you out of what everything that was out there that was distracting you, to get you lined up in your spirit so you can just get lost in God. Because when you start to worship, man, you come into the present. And what do we say? The times of refreshing come in the presence of the Lord. And so it's all about getting into that presence. And I don't care what it takes to get you there. If it's prayer that gets you there, if it's worship that gets you there, if it's praise that gets you there, whatever, just get there. And when you get there, try to stay there. That's a challenge I find, is trying to stay there. And so if you can think that the enemy is doing everything he can all the time to distract you, to get you out, and your whole goal is to stay in, that's step one in developing your prayer life. Spending time with God. Okay? So I want to make that clarification. Now, they're talking about corporate, so we're going to slip over into a little bit of corporate prayer, and that's when you see us praying together. Like if you came in tonight before church for an hour, we were praying corporate. And you may have came in at one particular time. I remember Ora was up there praying, and she was praying the power of God. Lord, the prayer of God come in there. She was pleading the blood of Jesus over the house. And if anyone to the natural ear could hear everything she was saying and hook up with the Spirit, I was hooking up with it. I was feeling every word she was saying. I was in the Spirit with her. I was unified. The church was unified. See, that's just becoming one in the Spirit. Okay? And then you might have been up here when Treva came up, and all of a sudden Treva slid over, and the Lord just started praying through her in tongues. Now, you didn't understand one word she said, but your spirit did. If you learn to tune in, you turn in. Next thing you know, you're speaking in tongues. And then everybody's in one spirit again, and you're praying in spirit again. And then the next one came up. Andy came up. He went right back, and he started making proclamations. Okay, well, then now, boop. See, we're moving all over. Man, my mind's being blessed. Man, my spirit's being blessed. My soul's being blessed. Every part of prayer is being covered. You got to get yourself all in it. There's not just one way to pray. You just got to get all in it. And I like what Rosalind says, because she said, you know, I didn't know we were doing intercessory prayer. I was just doing what they were doing. And next thing you know, you get good at it. And the best way I could tell you, it's like getting in a river. You know, you stand there and you kind of used to a little bit. Whoa. You know, next thing you know, you get that other foot in there. He's like, okay, all right. And you start easing out in that river, you know. Anybody ever felt that before? And that whole time, you're just working to stay, hold your spot in that river. And then one day, the epiphany hits you. Let go. And you just go where the river takes you. That's spirit-led prayer. And the difference is, if we're all together, and we all get in that river, it's going to take us the same place. And we're all going to go the same way, same speed. See, we're all going to be, we all pray. We all pray together, and we all stay together. You see, there's nothing more distracting than when you're in prayer, and it's flowing, and you got somebody that's so out of the spirit. Been there. And it's almost obnoxious. You hear it. You're like, this is not agreeing with my spirit because it's not in the flow. Okay? So I'm just trying to give you some practicalities. You may not understand everything. Like Ross said, you don't understand everything you're doing when you're praying. Not at first. And there's sometimes you may not understand things if you've been doing it for 30 years. Watch this. You don't have to. Prayer is not about you. Prayer is about coming into communication with God. It's about coming one with His Spirit. The more time you spend with God, the more like Him you become. It's that simple. The more Holy Spirit that is in you, the holier your life becomes. That is fact. So with that, I'm going to open this up a little bit. I don't care how y'all want to do this. But I want you to walk them. I gave you my rendition to kind of give them first steps and foundation. But I want, and I know everybody has a story, and we want short stories, but I want you to tell them, I gave you my rendition of what happened when the Lord pulled me over in prayer. I want y'all to give some testimonies of what the Lord did, and you know when you prayed a prayer. It could have been a little simple prayer you prayed in here. And you were obedient to the prayer, or you prayed a prayer, and it happened. And I want you to kind of share with them some of your own experiences about how prayer works. Prayer is powerful, and prayer works. So go ahead, panel, whoever wants to take that.
My wife and I was believing for our home that we're presently in. Prayed, interest rate, I mean, everything went perfect. 3 years later, we were on our way to Louisiana to help a family. Ros was on the phone handling church business. I just started praying, covering our home, cars, everything. We crossed the Louisiana state line. I done prayed. I'm relaxing. And then our phone started blowing up. Everybody calling, sending videos, pictures. The house next door was on fire. But we prayed protection, pleaded the blood of Jesus over everything. Make a long story short, cars wasn't touched, no smut, no smoke, nothing in the pool, nothing was touched. And it rained that night to put out the embers. And the wind blew the smoke back toward town away from my house. God is a good God, and He hears you when you cry.
Several years ago, my brother committed suicide. And it was an extremely traumatic experience because, I mean, we just didn't know. Sometimes people know that their loved ones are in trouble. We were in, at that time, a revival here at the church, and I had really was pressing into God. A few weeks prior to, maybe a month prior to, I had in prayer, and this type of prayer that I'm talking about right now is what I call invoking the presence. Bishop talked a little bit about it. Where you just sit in the presence of God. I had a heaviness on me that I could not explain. I didn't know why I have this heaviness. So when, even now today, if I feel heavy, whatever, and I don't know why or I know why, I invoke the presence of God. I don't go into warfare. I seek his presence. While I was in his presence, I had, again, didn't even know what it was called then. Later, after reading and studying, I had an open vision from just sitting in the presence of God and listening. I saw a casket. Now, you're told to rebuke and do. I didn't know what to do. I saw it. I'm like, it was just a casket that floated in front of me. I knew it was real because I had never experienced anything like that in my life. Well, a few weeks later, my brother passed away, and I knew that that's what it was. The traumatic experience. Every night when I would lay down, whenever I got still, I would hear the gunshot because he shot himself. I would hear it at night. It would just go off. I didn't know how to pray for myself then. My husband prayed the word over me every night until I could go to sleep. Again, but when I was by myself, I would hear them. And one night, we were in a revival. We had a Wednesday night service. I don't remember what it was, but Tim O'Leary was here. He was singing. And I went into the presence and invoked the presence of God. And I was sitting right over there. I will never forget it. I worshiped and worshiped and worshiped until I literally could see in the horizon, or whatever you want to call it, the gun just shh. And from that day, I never heard that gun again. From simply being in the presence of God, invoking his presence.
Ten years ago, the Lord, me and my wife Kirsten, we felt that the Lord had called her to go to chiropractic school. And so we left from here, never really been anywhere else but South Alabama. And so all you know to do, we were taught, I've been here since I was seven. My family came in 1994 as well, my mother. And I remember through Pastor David, through Bishop, Pastor Roslyn, Miss Dorothy, the Seals, whoever else was leading prayer at this church, we've always been taught to be specific. Pray specifically. If your arm hurts, pray for your arm. We don't just cast generalities out there. We pray specifically. And so we went for a couple of weekends in a row, 6 weekends in a row, and we were looking at all of these apartments and houses and stuff like that. And I remember sitting down and saying, okay, God, this is my job. This is how much I'm going to make. We want a house fenced in backyard because we have a dog. I need it to be this much room because we're about to have a son. So I was specific on the things that I asked God for. And where we wanted to live, everybody said, you want to be this close. So we made these specific things. Well, everything started lining up except for the house. And me and Kirsten went up Valentine's weekend, spent Valentine's in Atlanta looking for houses. And we finally got to the last day where we were going to have to come home. And, it's one of those, you're upset, you're tired of driving around Atlanta, because if you've never driven around Atlanta, it's aggravating. And we had drove all over Marietta, all over Cobb County, looking for a place. And we're like, we'll just settle. We'll just find something just to get us up here, and then we'll do whatever. And so we'd found this house, and it was the perfect house. And we pull up, the people had taken the backyard fence down. And we're like, this is not... So anyway, I told Kirsten, we're frustrated, we're aggravated. I said, let's just turn around in this neighborhood and go. And I remember us saying, God, we feel like you're the one that told us to come up here, so, you're going to have to. Well, as we pulled to the cul-de-sac in this neighborhood, I remember seeing a bush, and hidden in this bush was a for rent sign. And the house was the exact square footage we needed, fenced in backyard. It was the amount that I told God, I can afford this amount in rent, and this, it was that amount made me realize I should have said a little lower, you know. But everything like that for us lined up because we were put in before God. Well, then fast forward, because God does it for you one time, you start building on trusting Him time after time after time. And so then when the Lord led us to Indiana, everything worked out. Job, all of this stuff worked out. Last thing to come was the house. I'm like, God, you know, 4 hours away was easier to trust you. 12 hours from home, that's a little different. And I remember we're sitting in our kitchen, in our apartment, we're sitting there at our table, and me and Kirsten are sitting there, what are we going to do without a house? And Kirsten looks over and she said, you know, wouldn't it be amazing if the Lord just put it on their hearts to buy a house for us to rent when we get up there? I kid you not, 30 minutes later, her boss has called and said, hey, what if we just bought a house and you guys just rented it from us? I said, well, you know. And so, but when you talk to God that way, my little portion of this is you always have to remember, if God does it for you one time, he'll do it for you again and again and again and again, and use those as building blocks to keep prayer. And again, be specific. When you pray, be specific. If the Lord is, like Bishop said, if the Lord told him to stop his car and pray for the police, well, then don't stop and pray for the firefighters. They need prayer too. But if the Lord tells you to pray for policemen, pray for whatever, be specific and do what God told you to do.
Yes, sir, I have.
Okay, I wanted to say with transparency to anyone who stopped praying. Your prayer life just stopped. And I won't use the word that you was mad at God, but sometimes you were just hurt and devastated. That can become a real thing as a believer. The words say, hope deferred make the heart sick. And I just want to say to you, that's in Proverbs 13. Hope deferred make the heart sick. It will make it bitter, sick, and unforgiveness. So my prayer that God did for me was he brought me out of that. Because I was in a low place. Real low place in prayer life. And it happened when I cried out to him and didn't stop crying. Now, you say, well, you didn't have a prayer life. I didn't have the prayer life in spending time with him and believing him. But I didn't stop saying, Lord, help me. And I got so low in life from a whole lot of life that was happening that I finally understood that if I believe he will help me, he will come through. So what I finally began to say is, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And he brought me. I said, nobody can hear me. I'm screaming. Nobody can understand how to minister to a preacher's wife. Nobody would be real with me. We use the word church hurt, but I didn't understand what it really was. I was devastated in a low place, and I had taken a lot of blows. But when I cried unto the Lord, God set me up to get a phone call from Pastor Rosalind Brown, who was a friend of mine that I hadn't heard from in about 10 years or 12 years. And she said, your name came up. Now, how is it that I'm so low, but yet I ask God to help me? Sometimes your prayer don't look like what we saw out here tonight. Sometimes it is, God, if you don't help me, I won't make it. He hear that too. Don't stop calling on the name of Jesus. Because what he did was, he had Pastor Rosalind, who had enough faith for me to say, yes, you are coming to that conference. I said, no, I ain't. I can't tell nobody nothing. You don't know how low I am and where I am and what done happened. She said, yes, you are coming. And God had a setup for me. I came and I said in that meeting with all them powerful women of God, I said, I don't know why I'm here. All I said is, yes, Lord, because she told me to come. And I obeyed. I ain't got nothing for none of y'all. God said different. because he had a setup for me. And Bishop ministered to me on that floor on that Saturday. You surprised us all. And the words you spoke to me, you began to say what God said, and I went back to my seat, and then you said, is there anybody still need a little bit more prayer and still don't believe? I ran right back up there. If you be honest with God, he'll meet you where you are. If you be honest with God and you tell him, God, I just can't make it. If you don't help me, Lord. Sometimes you got to cry like the woman that's saying, and the man that was saying, Jesus. Sometimes you just got to call his name. There's nothing else you can say. But don't stop calling his name.
That's what prayer is. I don't know that we could have covered prayer any better. Oh, Rosalind, say something. Pastor Rosalind.
Linda can attest to this. So after the conference, she's receiving, I'm watching, I'm like, wow. And we were leaving. We had all gathered together and we're eating in the ambassador room. And I said to her, she said to me, I'll come back and maybe visit y'all sometimes. And I didn't know, you know, you got to know when to say what to say or what to say, when to say it. And I said to her, I said, you might want to go, better go where your healing is. And she has been here every Sunday since.
Two things to strive for. Number one, strive to be in his presence. And the second thing is, when you hear him, strive to do what he says. I don't know if you were picking up on every one of the testimonies, but at some point it required a measure of obedience. And it's usually not a comfortable thing when God calls you to do it. When Sister Linda was talking about, she'd sat down here, and I'd spoken a word to her. She went over, and then I said, hey, is there anyone, I'm just speaking by the Spirit, what the Lord's telling me to say. Is there somebody still here? I mean, she's raised the ministry. Pastor's wife used to having the microscope on her. And all these church people, she had to get up again. Now, you know, it was one thing to say you had a problem, and she still not fixed. That takes a lot of getting over your flesh. But because she was obedient, now she's an overcomer because she has the testimony of the Word. You're overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That means that grace is sufficient. But it's also by the testimony of your Word. So that moment of obedience allowed her to become an overcomer. So I hope this encouraged every person in here. Man, I just don't know how y'all could have done a better job of explaining prayer. I mean, that's as real as we can make prayer for you. There's no way I know how to improve on that. And so now it's just a matter of, are we going to be obedient to it? We got 21 days, we're in, every day. Join with us in prayer. Every day. If you haven't prayed, just start. If you don't know what to do, just talk to God about whatever you want to talk to God about. You got to start somewhere. Those of you that know how to pray and maybe have been distracted, this is the perfect time to get right back in the place you need to be in prayer. Our goal is, by the end of this month, we're going to be where we need to be rolling into this new year, and we're going to be stacked, packed, and ready. So whatever the enemy decides to throw at us, we're not moved by it, we're not shaken by it, we really don't even care. Because we're not operating in the natural any longer. We live in the supernatural, which is above his... Do you understand? He can only influence you in the natural realm. You got that? He cannot influence. He cannot cross into the supernatural realm. That's why we want to live above the strategies of the enemy. Do you understand that? So if you will, everybody stand to your feet tonight. How many people enjoyed the panel tonight? Didn't they do a great job? Come on. Amazing to me. You know, we sit here in a service and we just receive like from a panel like this. But you have no idea. We say in a few words what God's word has done for us. But you have any idea what we've had to walk through to be able to share that? And so I'm looking forward to your walk, to being with you and watching God work through you and do the same miracles, the same things. So you'll have testimonies even greater than anything you heard tonight. That's where we're at. We're trying to empower you so you don't have to make the mistakes we made. You know, you're going to know things. We didn't have that knowledge. And a lot of our stuff came out of, we had to dig out of some stuff because we just were taught wrong. Some of us weren't taught at all. And so we want to hand that to you now so you don't have to go and walk through all that. You can just start right here and you can start living a victorious life. Amen? So if you will, everybody lift up your hand. I want to say a prayer. Father, I thank you for every person that's in this building. I pray that every word was spoken will be received. I pray that hearts will be refreshed, minds will be renewed. And I pray, God, that this is like a spontaneous, just an ignition in the spirit for them to be able to desire prayer and to want prayer and to be able to want to be in your presence. Lord, a call, clarion call to come back to you, Lord, so we can spend time spending prayer and worship and praise, and it be genuine, not just motions that we go through, but it be genuinely directed at your heart, Lord, from ours. So God, fill every person with your Holy Spirit. Empower them, Lord. Bless them. Let them feel your tangible presence every day of their life. So they don't have to talk about you, Lord, but they can talk what they have known. So we thank you, God, for the experience that they're going to have in you. And I can't wait for this new year and what you're about to do. Glory to him. And if you believe that, come on, all the believers, shout amen right now and give God a great big hand clap of praise. Come on, everybody. Come on, give him a great big hand clap of praise here.